Welcome to another edition of the Lakers Locker Room. I'm your host, Tayshaun Graham, and we have another great one for you today. You know, this is someone I've had the pleasure of meeting a few years ago and both of our times of, you know, Clyde over in Nipissing. You know, phenomenal person, phenomenal athlete. There's so much to get into in this episode. We have from the women's hockey team, we have Miss Mallory D'Amico. Mallory, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. So much to talk to, but let's get right into the first thing. I first want to congratulate you on, you know, your recent Dave Marshall Leadership Award. Such a huge honor. Kind of, what does it feel like to have such an award like that in Nipissing?
I do think it's a really big recognition, and I'm just so overwhelmed with all of the accolades and everything that I've accomplished this year, and it was just really nice to be recognized by others.
Did you know that you were getting nominated, or was it just something that popped in your email, and then congratulations, you're a recipient?
I did get an email. I believe it was more so that congratulations, you won an award.
Yeah.
However, you were nominated by our athletic trainer, Mac, and then my coach, Darren Turcotte. So.
Nice. I mean, how was the ceremony? Because when I went 2 years ago, it was still kind of semi-COVID. I had to do a mask. There was no food. Kind of. Did you guys do it at the student center?
Yeah, so it was at the student center, and it was about, I'd say, a two-hour ceremony. And basically, we were just sitting at the tables with the two speakers and then congratulating everybody. And then at the end of it, we had like a little table of food lined up.
Oh, I'm jealous. We didn't get food?
Damn.
Nip, that's what you guys are doing us? Damn. All right. But no, congratulations. Like, so obviously, we'll talk about why you won that award a little bit later on. But going to the sports side, let's talk about the season. So obviously, you girls once again had another great season. You know, the last 2 years, you girls have really stepped it up in terms of being nationals the last 2 years. Unfortunately, obviously, things didn't go this way this year, but just kind of talk a bit about how the season went, you know, and all that.
Yeah, so our season went really well for the most part. We did go on, like, a really big winning streak. I can't remember how long it was. I think it was 12 or 13 games.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a really good first half of the season, and then at the beginning of the second half, we kind of started to decline a little bit. We still managed to end up first in the East Division, I believe that's what we're in, and then we were second overall in the whole like conference, and then playoffs came around and just couldn't make it out of the first round this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so you guys played York, right?
We did play York. We played them four times in the second half of the season, and I think we split the games 50-50.
Wow.
So it was like it could have went either way, and I guess they just showed up more than we did during playoffs.
Yeah. Would you say a bad matchup at round time or type of thing? Just
I think it was just like a hard team to play against.
Yeah.
And we've always kind of struggled with them, so it could have went either way and just didn't go our way.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, even with the team, you know, this was, you know, before we got on the podcast, we talked about this was the first year that you were really playing without your sister, who kind of finished last year. Kind of, what was it like, you know, playing this whole season without your sister? Because you've had her every step of the way, and this year it was totally different not seeing her. So what was that like?
It was really hard for me. Like, my sister's my best friend, and I have always looked up to her as a player. So it was definitely a big adjustment, like, especially just going to the rink and not seeing her there. However, it was better for me in a sense that I got to kind of have my own personality on the ice, and I wasn't always being compared to my sister like I have been in the past.
Really?
However, like, sometimes even rewatching the games, they still confuse our names even though she's not on the team. Like, right. It'd be like, oh, Maria, I mean Mallory. But yeah, it was better that I could kind of create my own identity on the ice without being in her shadow a little bit.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, knowing your girls' relationship a little bit, obviously you girls are really, really close. Mm-hmm. Just kind of staying on that topic for a second, was that something like that kind of hindered you as a player, kind of bothered you in the sense of being kind of in her shadow? Because obviously your sister's really, really good,
yes.
So are you. Was that something that kind of bothered you that you finally had the opportunity to kind of shake off because she wasn't there?
Like, I will always say, like, I think my sister is probably the best hockey player I've seen.
Right.
And, like, I know how good she is as a player. However, her and I are two different players. She has amazing stick handling skills, and I'm like more of like a shooter type of player, so like we are different, and I don't think people really differentiated us, but now it was probably easier to see who I am,
right,
compared to her being on the ice one shift and then me, and then yeah
because I mean, speaking on her, you know, her skills, man. Obviously, we know we saw the crazy goal she had last year. Had to put that in that for the bank.
Oh yeah.
If you guys can see it, go check out OUA. That was
it's crazy.
Well, that was one of the best goals I've seen, definitely in that angle. But you know, going into the season, obviously, like I said, you guys made it to national 2 years in a row. For you personally, you know, obviously now that you're older, years of Nipissing, as a fifth year, kind of what were your goals going into the season in terms of hopefully helping the team get back to national? Obviously, it didn't happen, but kind of what were your goals at the beginning?
We did have a lot of returning players. I think we only lost 3 from the previous season, so a lot of us did have like the experience, and like we know what it takes to get through regular season and get through playoffs, and we know how difficult it is to actually get to nationals, but like we've been through it and like we know the process it takes. But we mostly focused on like one game at a time, one shift at a time, and we just made sure to relay that message to our first year players.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of your first year players, I believe one of them was actually the rookie of the year. Was it rookie of the year or just national rookie of the year?
So Abby Lunny, she was OUA rookie of the year.
Shout out.
OUA rookie all-star team, and then she was also named to the U Sports national all-star team.
Kind of to talk about her, but kind of how it was like for her to see her on the ice, you know, first year she excelled, obviously. Kind of what's her potential like going into her future here at Nipissing?
She has such a big future ahead of her. She's actually my stallmate, so I took like a lot of initiative to like overlook her and everything. Sorry, my coach is at the door right now. And I kind of took her under my wing, and I do see like such a big future for her. She has so much potential, so I'm really excited to see her grow.
For sure. You know, obviously continuing on, you know, you being a senior and stuff like that now, did you say you were looking to take on a leadership role? Like, did you take on a leadership role, or just kind of what was it like this year? Now, obviously, now that you're, you know, in the later years, obviously, you've been here one of the longest here. So, kind of, what was that like this year in terms of if you did take on a leadership role?
So, I didn't necessarily take on a leadership role, but I would consider myself, like, a leader without having one of the letters.
Right.
And a lot of, like, my teammates see me as that as well. So, like, I kind of bring the energy to the room and all those, like, little things behind the scenes. And that's just who I am as a person. I don't know, like, I don't need that letter to define me as a leader, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure, because even the same thing with me, like, I'm in my fifth year and I obviously didn't have the C tag as well, but obviously I feel like some people kind of looked at me as a leader because I've been here the longest, along with obviously my teammate Jack Hegarty, who was a captain.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree with that sentiment in terms of you don't always have to have that letter on your jersey to say you're a captain. You know, leaders can be in multiple ways and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously just continuing on, you know, talking about the season, just, you know, you guys obviously went through that 12-13 game winning streak, and obviously you guys end up losing at the end. Kind of, what do you think it was in terms of, was it, do you think it was just bad matchup? Do you think it was just kind of, what kind of happened? Do you think that kind of led to maybe what happened in the playoffs? Just really talk about that.
I wouldn't say, like, we were underprepared or anything. I also wouldn't say, like, we thought that we were going into the game going to win. Like, I don't think our attitudes got ahead of us or anything. I just, like, I don't know, personally, I know that it was going to be a struggle. They're a very hard, grinding team, and sometimes I find that that's harder to play against than a skilled team.
Yeah.
They do have very skilled players, like, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, I don't know, maybe, like, we just weren't ready for it.
Yeah, what lessons do you think you guys took from that? Because obviously, like I said, the last 2 years, you girls, even 2 years ago, you girls were literally one game away from bringing the school's first eSports championship. And hey, you girls still did an amazing job. You guys, the fact that you guys got there is a you know, achievement itself. So kind of what lessons would you guys say you learned as a team just from based on this whole season, just that experience of maybe taking it down here, but hopefully coming back next year. You're coming back next year, right?
Yes, I am coming back next year.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of learning, figure out how to, you know, get back to that stage next year.
I think, like, we definitely don't want to be in that position again where you lose in the first round. And maybe just the thought that, like, they only won, I think, about, like, 7 or 8 games all season.
Really?
When I think we won at least, like, 19, you know? Like,
wow.
And maybe it's just, like, not underestimating any team because any team can win on any given night. So basically just making sure that we're bringing our all every single game because we don't want to feel that way that we did again, so.
No, 100%. I think, like I said, a lot of times people, it's funny because I saw something on Instagram the other day and it said, which which emotion is stronger? Is it the happiness of success or the pain of failure? And I said for sure 100% is the pain of failure.
Definitely.
I think a lot of times when you're winning, it's cool, but like it's the sentiment of like when you're so close and you know that like you should get something, you should win something, and you don't win.
Yeah.
It's that feeling that like, if you're an athlete, you know it. It's just that feeling.
Definitely, yeah.
You can't replace that. So I'm glad you guys took something from it. Like I said, obviously you girls have probably been one of our best teammate in the beginning. Last year, we're just being completely honest.
Yeah.
So obviously you girls have put North Bay on the map and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see, you know, what you guys do, especially next year.
Yeah. We're only losing, I think, one, could be two, depending.
So not too
some
bad.
People have eligibility to come back. So it was just based on them if they do want to come back. So we will be going back into the next season with almost the same team, so.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Like what you've been hearing so far? Make sure to follow us on IG at Lakers Locker Room and subscribe to our YouTube channel while you're at it, where you can find clips of all our episodes and video content associated with the podcast. Part 2 of the Lakers Locker Room starts now. Switching gears a bit, obviously it's just, you know, obviously the first, you know, topic we talked about is obviously you winning the Dave Marshall Leadership Award. But I think most people know, but some people really don't know why. But we know before obviously doing this episode, I really wanted to kind of research it. I heard a little bit about it, you know, through the North Bay Nuggets stuff like that. But yeah. I really wanted to learn more kind of the initiative you started, because I have respect for a lot of athletes who really take it upon themselves to do something, especially in the wake of tragedy.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, you did something that I think is phenomenal. And you said the Dave Marshall Leadership Award is super deserved. And I really wanted to kind of give you this platform to really talk about, you know, you started the Young Leaders Legacy. Was started based off a tragedy,
yeah.
And just kind of talk a bit about what went into starting that, kind of why you wanted to start that, for people who don't know.
So basically the legacy is in memory of my 6 friends who've passed away. I've met them through hockey or through the community, but they were all involved in sports. They were all, like, I would consider them as leaders within their community. And so basically I just teamed up with Wolves Den Gas Bar just down the highway, and they agreed to sponsor me $100 per point. And with that money, it was donated to the Kids Sport Foundation of North Bay, and so they will donate money and help young athletes who are unable to financially afford to get into sport. They'll give them bursaries and grants to help them be involved. And basically I just wanted to do that to help live on the name of my friends who've passed away, and just make sure that like they're never going to be forgotten, even though they're not here with us. So,
no, that's phenomenal. Like I said, you know, a lot of people, you know, I've heard the saying before. It's like 90% of life is what happens to you, and 10% is how you respond from it. Oh, I think it's the other way around. Sorry, I think it's the other way around, but you guys get the point. But basically, like most of your life is like how you respond to it.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's 10% of life is. It's 10% of life is what happens to you. 90% is how you respond from it. I just had to make sure. Look at the camera. I got it right, okay? So, anyways. But basically, yeah, like, I have a lot of respect for people who really start initiatives like this based on tragedy. You know, with me starting Shoot for Change and New Base, you know,
yeah.
Based after what happened to George Floyd, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's really cool to see people like yourself, you know, doing the same thing in terms of something happened to you, be turning into a positive. You know, obviously, like I said, you won the Dave Marshall Leadership Award. You've been out there, you know, you've had stuff written about you. What do you want people who kind of read or heard about your story to really take away from in terms of being able to take something that was so sad and so tragic into something positive that's so uplifting for people in the community?
Basically, I just really want my friends' names to still be out there. I want people to recognize how good that they were of a person, and I just want to make sure that they're always going to be remembered, basically. Mm-hmm. I know, like, it was a really big struggle for me. Like, one year, one friend passed away, then it happened again the next year, and then it happened again within, like, 6 months or something.
Yeah.
And I was just always trying to find a way to make sure that they were going to be remembered, and I just talked about it with my family, and we came up with this idea, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't mind, kind of, what was, like, your state of emotion? Like I said, I know one of them was during COVID. I remember looking at the data. It was, like, a couple months after we did the podcast episode, right? So, like, kind of, what was your emotional state at the time? Because people, like, some people have dealt with death. Like, I obviously have dealt with my grandmother my first year, and then when I was 15, my other grandmother. So, some people may have situation death, but with you, it's, like, it's, like, I just felt so sad. I was, like, wow, like,
yeah.
So, kind of, how was your emotional state throughout all of that?
So it might sound bad, I don't know, but, like, the first two, like, hit me very hard. And then when you have a third, and then a fourth, and then a fifth, and then a sixth,
it gets numbing.
It's just like, how am I going through this again? And I feel like I kind of wasn't really dealing with my emotions anymore because it just felt so natural that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
However, I did have like a really big supportive base. My family was always there for me, and then I have really good friends who were kind of going through it at the same time.
Right.
And then just like really supportive of everything. So.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't sound bad because there's the same thing that would happen with our community with the whole George Floyd thing. Like, it gets to a point where it's numbing. That's the sickening part of certain life situations, because when something happens so many times that shouldn't be numbing, sadly, if it keeps reoccurring, especially at a consistent frequency as it does, especially with your situation, it sadly does get numbing.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? And obviously, like I said, it sounds bad and it is what it is, but at the same time, you have to understand for people listening, like, when you go through it and go through over and over and over, it's like, how many more am I going to take, right?
Yeah.
So, kind of, for, you know, for people listening right now, just through your story, kind of, what was it that really helped get you out? Obviously, you end up starting the Young Leaders Legacy, mm-hmm. but, like, you know, was it your family? Was it, you know, did you start journaling? Like, what was it for you that really helped you get out of the situation? Like I said, because most of it started just before COVID, and a couple happened during COVID. So what was that like for you to get yourself?
Definitely, like, just talking about it with my friends and family. I did have, like, really tough days sometimes, especially on the anniversaries. Like, I just didn't really want to talk to anybody. But I think the fact, like, the realization that, you know what, I'm still here and I can make a difference for them. Like, they can't anymore. So now, not that it's up to me, but that I have a chance and a platform to be able to make them remember type of thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you know, I talked about this with, you know, Lauren Brennan, who's our manager of collegiate sports at Nipissing. You know, her episode came out a couple weeks ago. You know, one thing I talked to her about was I'm really starting to see, you know, a lot of more athletes kind of get involved in space. You know, she was at Nipissing probably about 10 to 12 years before we got here, and she talked about how the evolution of more athletes getting involved. Kind of, what's your take on seeing more athletes at Nipissing kind of get involved? Because you're seeing a lot more teams and a lot more athletes specifically want to get involved, you know, with your initiative, Shoot for Change, the Junior Lakers, and all these type of things.
Yeah.
But what's your take on just seeing more athletes really want to get involved and make a difference in the community?
I think it's a really good thing. I think it's something that probably should have happened a while ago.
Yeah.
But I think that it's really creating, like, stepping stones for, like, the future ahead of us.
Yeah, because I think one thing I would say, too, I think probably this era, too, is kind of more conscientious. You know, you hear all the time in the news, so you're saying that this generation is kind of more socially conscious, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, it's unfortunate that some of these things have happened based on tragedy, but at the same time, though, it's cool to see that a lot of things have made things better. You know, your Young Leaders Legacy, you know, Shoot for Changes. I bet the other ones, I'm only saying these two just because for people listening, because these are the only two that I can think of as me and Mallory talking right now, but I'm pretty sure there's probably a lot more, and if there is, you know, shout out to everyone who's done stuff like this, but the ultimate point is that if you're able to make something that's so negative to something positive and see the bright side, maybe how can we use this to be better? I think that's the most important thing, especially as an athlete, because I think people don't realize how much of a platform you have as athletes, especially in North Bay. Like you said, you're from North Bay.
Yeah.
You know, I've been here for 5 years, originally from Toronto. Like, coming here made me realize that, you know, this is really the only, outside the battalions, like, this is the big thing here is Nipissing Athletics, right? So
yeah.
It's been really cool to see just a lot of athletes get involved, wanting to make a difference, because, you know, the stigma really was, oh, like, I don't have a lot of time, like, I'm a student, I'm an athlete, I practice, I got this, I got that, but
yeah.
I've always said, I think you're a great example that there's always time to make a difference.
There is.
Right? And I think how passionate you are always finds a way to come through. Like, sometimes, you know, we had a thing before the podcast, you know, you're not the best speaker, but, you know, you're confirming what I've always said, that, you know, even if you're not a great speaker, the passion always finds a way to come
Definitely,
through.
Definitely, yeah.
Always finds a way to come through, right? So, kind of, my last question for you, you know, it's kind of to wrap up this episode, because obviously there's a lot we talked about. It's just kind of, what's your advice for those who want to kind of find their voice? Like I said, you know, you're not the most voiceful person, but you did a really good job, because, like I said, it was really about something that's important to you.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are starting to find that themselves in terms of finding a way to use your voice about something that's important to them. What's your advice for ultimately for people trying to get out of their shell and just speak up for what they believe in?
Yeah, so I'm a very introverted person, and it is really hard for me to, like, step out of my comfort zone. But I think, like, it's really, like, your motivation and, like, your passion for something that if you want to do it, you can. And it's, like, I've been thinking about starting this legacy, like, since probably, like, my first or second year.
Really?
And it's taken me until my fifth year to actually get it out there, because I was afraid of people being like, oh, no, like, this is a bad idea. How are you going to find a sponsorship? And, like, for my season, what, I have 27 games, so, like, if someone did $5 a point, like, yes, it's going to make a small difference, but like I didn't know and everything. So I think it's really just, even if you're scared, just talk to people about it, and I'm sure somebody will take you on. And if you're passionate enough about it, like, you're gonna make a difference no matter what, like big or small. So
yeah, for sure. I think also too, just I think you know, with the universe, I think it really rewards like sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes people might get into stuff for the wrong reasons. Like, people just want to get it for the notoriety or the opportunities it can present them, the awards and stuff like that. I think for people like ourselves who have gone to our spaces for the right reasons, I think that's why we've been able to success. You know, obviously, how much money did you actually raise? I think what I'm asking.
So with Wolves Den, they were doing $100 a point, so I came to $2,600 from them.
Okay.
However, I did have like some community members as well, and they were doing $5 a point, so they both totaled $130 each. So then there was more money added on there, and then I believe other people were also doing it on their own. However, I didn't get in contact with them,
mm-hmm.
but like I made close to like $2,900. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your goal with it? Was there, when you first started, was there a goal? Okay, I want to get 10,000, or just want to see how it goes. Kind of, what was your goal with it?
Well, obviously, I want to make as much as I could.
Of course.
However, that was all dependent on my statistics from the season. So that also did give me a little bit more motivation to like dig down even deeper during the hockey season. But I also just knew that no matter what, big or small, I'm making a difference. With all like the Bay Today articles, the Nugget, the Kids Sport, like my story was getting out there, and I think that was also probably more important, that they were learning my friends' names, learning my friends' stories, and like carrying on their legacy, which was kind of the main thing.
No, for sure. I think also too, like, just like you said, like obviously you want to make as much money as possible, but I think too, like I said, the notoriety from it, I think,
mm-hmm.
especially with North Bay, it's honestly, people don't realize, like, it's actually not that hard to contact, you know, news outlets here in North Bay versus Toronto, which that's been a very big plus. So I can speak on that, look at the camera about that. But, you know, just obviously, you know, someone who's done super change kinds of stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
have you, and just curious, have you ever thought about making it bigger? Have you ever thought about making it to an actual game that you do with other schools? Have you thought about maybe starting a bursary or stuff like that with it? Like, has there been ever any thoughts now that you're coming back next year to really your last year because you max out next year? Kind of, where do you hope to really take this?
I hope that I'm gonna continue on the legacy next year. I will have to get in contact with my sponsors, but maybe like having more sponsors come on. It would be nice that if I could like have a game in memorial of my friends. However, I know that's like a really big thing, and we do also kind of do a game for Noah Strong,
yes.
who was one of my friends,
yes.
who's passed away. So just like tying it all in together and having like one game in support of it would be nice. I'm also hoping if I do carry on with hockey past Nipissing, that I'm gonna like continue it on. So just like a continuous thing would be nice, but that would also involve like more planning and thought. So
yeah, but I definitely think something like this has definitely the potential to keep going, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest thing about a lot of events, the sustainability factor. Like, you know, you don't want to have something that started with you, and which is so great, but then once you leave it, it dies. I think something with, you know, your story, kind of what it is, I think it's something that has to keep going,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're not the only person who's been through it.
Yeah.
Sadly, right? But I think as long as you find a way to keep things going, keep the conversation going, find a way to have a success or a succession plan, kind of what I'm doing right now with New Bases, like, I think that's the biggest thing to keep these things going. Because a lot of things, though, since we've been here 5 years, is a lot of things has come up, which is really good.
Yeah.
Right? But just find a way to keep it going into the next 5 years and the 5 years after that. And I think that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Mallory, you know, it's been great talking to you those episodes. I really wanted you on because obviously I heard about it, you know, a few months ago. Obviously, when I saw you one day, March Leadership, I'm like, okay, I have to get you on. I want people to hear this type of stuff,
yeah.
because it's, like I said, the whole point of me taking over this podcast 4 years ago is because I wanted it to be a safe space. I wanted it to be something where, you know, people can talk about these type of things, you know, have conversations, be open, like, be vulnerable. Like you said, you're not the most boisterous and talkative person, but you can't tell right now because, you know, the topics we're talking about. So I just want to say thank you so much for really taking time to talk about this stuff. It's been a really good episode. I really hope people take something from your story.
Perfect. Well, thank you for having me on.
No, for sure. And with that said, that is a wrap on another edition of The Lakers Locked. I want to thank my special guest, Mallory Dominico, for joining us. You can find the video's version of the interview on YouTube and also follow it on all podcasting platforms. Thank you.